Paul, our dear friend Pony, otherwise known as Andrew Filipponi, just reported something, rumored something. Tell me what he had.
Okay, so our very own Andrew Filipponi. Or
we've established this. Or, that is him.
No, I'm saying, or as some people would like to refer to him, Andrew Full of Baloney.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Filipponi.
Andrew Filipponi. Pirate Source ran this trade by me. Henry Davis, mm-hmm. Mike Burrows,
yeah.
Luis Ortiz,
yep.
For Jazz Chisholm and Tanner Scott from Miami.
Mm.
So we go to the Marlins, we go down here to there. Tanner Scott is, for all intents and purposes, their closer. Right now, he is 34 innings. 34 innings. Let's see. 6 earned runs. Only giving up 2 home runs. 35 strikeouts. 1.2 whip.
Well,
he's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, he had 104 strikeouts in 70-some innings. He's 29, though. Chisholm's only 26 and seems to have a lot still in there. But the key question to that whole thing is, are you ready to give up on Henry Davis? Or is he the Tyler Glasnow of hitters for the Pirates going into a trade like that?
But if you add Chisholm to this lineup, 264, 330, 438 with a 768 OPS, and he's hit 10 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. It's not great. You're getting him on the hope he becomes a star.
Right. I have no question, but you're not really giving up anything.
You are giving up on Henry Davis, though. That's the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, but...
Are you ready to do
yes.
that? Are you ready to do that?
No, I'm not. I want to see him healthy and a full year where he gets the chance to play it.
You guys are being hypocrites.
And why's that?
You're being hypocrites,
what?
Both of you.
I feel insulted, City Limits.
I feel
limits.
Very insulted.
You should.
IT feels insulted on behalf of us.
Because I just called you hypocrites. Because at the end of the day, are we trying to win this year? Or are we going to?
No. Because what you and I have both established that just because we want the Pirates to make a big-time deal doesn't mean you make any deal that fits that description.
My point is, I don't... Well, I want to see Henry Day. Now he's hurt. Then he's going to go to AAA. Then he's got to, you know, then we've got Andy Rodriguez out there. Let's not forget, we still have another catcher of the future out there.
I'm not ready to give up on him.
Okay, so then what are you going to do with Henry Davis?
Wait for him to develop, hopefully. He only has 310 major league at-bats.
Right, but where are you going to play him?
Wherever his bat deems that he should play. He needs to hit.
I don't like the idea of trading Henry Davis. I love it. Because I think that you might be able to get something from some general manager out there who thinks that they're going to be the team that's going to turn him into a star. I, for one, don't care if 3 years from now he's really good somewhere else. If the guys he brings back helps this team win this year and next year.
Well, how good is Jazz Chisholm? How good is he? I don't know.
Here's you're not hearing me.
No, I am hearing you.
What I'm saying is... I don't necessarily know this is the deal, but if there's a deal to be made involving Henry Davis where you can fleece some other general manager into thinking that you're getting some high, high-level prospect, I make it.
Well, now you're changing the goalposts. I didn't say Henry Davis is off-limits.
Well,
I said I'm not buying this particular deal.
You're saying that because you're basically saying that you don't want to give up on him.
Not in this deal. If you gave me a deal for you know, name a player who's really good.
Well, you're not going to get that guy. This is the kind of deal you're going to get for him.
Well, then I don't want this deal. I don't want this deal.
So you would rather have the Pirates stand pat.
Now that.
Hold
that is not
that
even.
Is, that
is that
not
is saying
what I
that
said.
Henry Davis has to be included in a deal,
no,
which is not what we're saying.
Okay, so what deal would be acceptable to you to involve Henry Davis?
For a really good major league
okay.
player.
What team is giving you a really good major league player for a guy who might stink? Nobody.
then I'm not making the deal.
Well, then you're telling me that you're not going to
trade
him.
Henry Davis is still, he might stink. He's still the number one overall pick from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, okay, well, let's.
Some team out there may give you, plus he's not the only guy involved in the deal.
Let's look at what the market is. Let's look at what the market is. How many great blockbuster players did the Pirates have to give up to get Joey Bart?
What?
How much did it take the Pirates to get Joey Bart?
Joey Bart was DFA'd.
Nothing.
Joey Bart. How
Joey
much?
Bart.
I'm telling you, Paul just loves.
Bart Simpson has entered this conversation.
He loves Joey Bart.
No, that's not what I'm saying. He was the second overall pick. Nobody was knocking down the Giants' door to say, we're going to give you a good, really good player for this guy.
Right.
And he was basically in the same area of just suckitude that Davis has been in. So you're saying, well, I want a really good player back for him. Guess what? Then you're basically saying that deal is not going to be made. You know, there's people that are all upset about, you know, again, it's not about who is leaving. It's about who's coming.
Well, this whole thing still boils down to, do you have any belief that Henry Davis can still be a really good player? If you don't, then this deal makes a ton of sense. That's the question.
Here's the thing.
I still believe that there's a legit chance of that. I still do.
Okay, but again.
And you might be right. Nobody's willing to part with a really good player in a deal but Henry Davis is only part of a deal, too. Like, you can include other people. Maybe nobody is. Okay, in that case, then I'm not making a deal with Henry Davis involved.
Right.
I'm not. I'll look out. There's a lot of guys I could trade, a lot of prospects I could trade without dealing him.
I'm just telling you that. I think it's kind of one of those things where I think he should be obviously on the table as somebody that hopefully you can go out and get. And find a general manager who still thinks he can be a really, really good superstar that might be willing to overpay you in return for him.
Well, let's put it this way. So we were talking earlier about how Rowanzi Contreras for the Angels now is doing pretty decent in their bullpen, and the Pirates could use another bullpen arm. And the same thing with Jose Hernandez, who was DFA'd, and then the Dodgers ended up picking him up again. What makes that situation different, those guys, compared to Henry Davis and not allowing him to have more time, or Clay Holmes to have more time when they eventually traded him off to the Yankees too early, or anyone else that they might give up on too early to the point of where Henry Davis only has 91 games in the majors?
Because they have Andy Rodriguez.
I'd be fine with two good catchers.
And they have Joey Bart.
I want to see Andy Rodriguez come back and throw.
They have Joey Bart and Andy Rodriguez.
Joey Bart had a 5-minute stretch where he was good.
He was the second pick of the draft.
I know he was.
He was the second pick of the draft.
And maybe the Giants were wrong to get rid of him. I don't know. I still think they were probably right. You might be right on Henry Davis. We'll ask Dan Zangrilli. But
I'm just so down on Henry Davis.
I'm just not ready.
If you could get, listen, when it comes to Henry Davis, I go to the Buddy Ryan school of thinking when he traded Ernest Jackson away, and people said, what are you doing? I said, I'll trade him for a six-pack. It doesn't even have to be cold. That's what he said. And that's what I say about Henry Davis. If you can get an actual legitimate major league player, two of them for Henry Davis, because again, I mean, really, let's face it, Luis Ortiz is just kind of a throw-in.
Yeah, although it wouldn't surprise me if somebody else harnessed the ability he showed when he first got up here. I'll never forget Bob Walk, who's a pretty good source, saying on this show that Ortiz, he hadn't seen a Pirate pitcher debut like that since Garrett Cole. That's when Ortiz was throwing 100. You remember that?
My point is,
so don't be surprised if Luis Ortiz or his like goes somewhere else.
Good.
And like so many other Pirate pitchers becomes
good.
But
again, good. You know what you're talking about? You're
no, but about, I get your point, though. I get your point.
You're talking about something completely different.
Then what?
If these guys go elsewhere and be stars, like some of these other guys have,
yeah,
doesn't that point back to the people in charge of developing these guys
yes.
here?
Yes.
And so, therefore, it's almost in my mind to say, well, you look at what Ronzi Contreras is doing elsewhere. You know, why they gave up on him too early. Well, if he was still here, he would be still in the same machine that was turning him out the wrong way.
Completely.
So
the same could be true with Henry Davis. Henry Davis is 3 years younger than Joey Bart. The last few times we've seen him at AAA, he's absolutely crushed the ball. I'm just curious to see. I still think he may be not a superstar, but a really good major league hitter.
What about Mike Burrows?
He's been injured. I guess he has some potential. I don't know.
He's 24 years old and he's still in single A?
No, I think he went down there on injury.
He's having a rehab assignment.
What are we talking about here?
Well, that's a different topic, is Mike Burrows. Of course, he'll turn into Dwight Gooden if he goes somewhere else.
Right, but again.
But yeah, I'm willing to part with anybody, Paul, but that doesn't mean for any return. And I don't know. Chisholm, to me, seems like an underachiever at this point in his career. And the other guy's a bullpen piece.
This guy says, Pirates have Endy. I agree with Paul Zeiss. Pirates have Endy. Cut your losses with Henry Davis. Get your much-needed reliever and outfielder. And Chisholm and Scott, I'll even drive to Miami and back to drop them off.
See, I'm not that down on Davis after 300 at-bats. That's a very, very
Here's my
small
question,
sample.
Though. Here's my question.
I do have questions about him, though. Anybody does.
My question is, what position does he play?
Hitter. I don't care about the position. You draft a guy number one overall for his bat. I don't give a crap if he's an everyday DH for the rest of his life. If he can hit, I have severe questions on him. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not ready to give up for him in a deal like that. You are. Limits isn't. We have John Perotto. We have Cabali coming up here. Let's ask Sangrilli about all this at the top of the hour. Pony has created a firestorm here, which is great.
Look what they've done to my song.
It's that time of the week, Paul.
Look what they've done.
Time for the big boy, Mark Cabali. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He's also on our screen. Look at him.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Mark.
Got the Meadville Bulldogs hat on.
That's big.
What did you call them? The Meadville.
Remember the Meadville Bulldogs? Meadville is a high school. They're the Bulldogs as well. Now that's the Portview Bulldogs, right?
Yes, Portview Bulldogs.
Did you win the championship yet?
No, big playoff win last night, 13-3 in four innings, 10 run them. On to the semifinals, ready to go.
All right. That's good.
We're very proud of you, Mark, for a lot of things, not just that.
I had nothing to do with it.
I thought you were the coach.
Yeah, I thought you were the coach.
No.
What kind of fan are you? Do you just sit there? Do you get on the coach? You yell at the umps? What do you like?
I'm very supportive.
That's good. Just clap for good things, that type
of
thing.
You see too much in our business to be that dad. You don't want to be that old man that yells at the clouds and the umpires and the other team. Trust me, there's enough bickering going on between some fans and coaches, so I try to stay out of it.
You had a mailbag this week, Dr. Cabali. And the headline was, what's next with Cam Hayward as training camp approaches? Could you answer that question right now?
Wait and see right now, right? Nothing obviously is going to go on right now. It's probably going to be later on during, maybe early part of camp, get it into training camp. But right now it's just a wait and see who blinks first.
Well, someone asked you, why shouldn't the Steelers wait until after the season to offer Hayward an extension? I agree with that guy. This guy, Paul M., who texted into your mailbag. Do you agree with him?
I can't remember what I wrote, to be honest with you. But
Well, what's the answer to that? Why wouldn't you just wait?
Oh, I mean, you could, but then you're taking a chance here of, I mean, then you're relying on Cam to be very loyal to the organization. And if he does have that great year, he can go get paid somewhere else. But you're probably assuming that he would not do that because he doesn't want to go somewhere else. He wants to be that one helmet type of guy. So you could move that down that route, but I don't know if you want that hanging over your head. And I would, it all has to do with, I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. It all has to do with the money and how you structure the money. And if both sides feel comfortable with it, if they're able to do that, I don't see any reason why they can't come to a pretty rapid conclusion to this all. But if one guy wants a ton of money and one doesn't want to give him anything, to tell him to sit and wait, you know, maybe Cam's feelings hurts, maybe they're not, I don't know. But it could be done if they both would, you know, come to some type of agreement, as in each move off of their standing point right now. And there's time for that. So I think eventually it will get done, but maybe not. Maybe it will be first day of camp. Maybe it will be the last day of camp. I think it will get done before the season.
Well, I mean, I think that if the Steelers believe that he's a loyal guy, which it seems like he is, and he wants to stay, I don't understand why you wouldn't wait. And if you have to, and if he has a great year, then you got to pay him more. You got to pay him more. That you'd rather that than, you know what I mean, pay him a lot, and then he's got a bunch of groin injuries again this year, and then you got cap, you know, issues next year, and all the other stuff.
I would agree with you, Paul, with basically anybody else, but somebody that's meant this much to the program. I don't know if you want to set that precedent with that type of a guy saying, okay, let's take advantage of your loyalty and let's see, we know you'll just sign back. Maybe somebody else, that's fine. Maybe the guy's been only around for a couple years, but I think Cam's on a different level that you shouldn't, and they probably wouldn't treat him that way. At least I hope they wouldn't treat him that way. I really don't know if that's the case or not, but that's the thing. I mean, I just don't think, first of all, I still think he's a very good player. Okay, he was had injuries last year, but everybody has a year where they have injuries. I think he's still good enough to bounce back and have a very, very productive season. And a very productive season for, I don't care how old he is, for defensive linemen, those guys aren't cheap, and those guys are very hard to find. So that's the way I look at it. I mean, but you still have to protect yourself and your Steelers. You don't want to give him enough guaranteed money and guaranteed money throughout 36, 37, where you could get bit on the back end of this. That's where I'm talking about those two have to come to some agreement where, you know, they both have they protect each other.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Somebody else asked, what percentage chance would you give the Steelers of moving on from Hayward after this season? Zero. I would counter that or add to that by saying, what percent chance that Hayward would play somewhere else if he had to?
Well, if he has to, which means, you know, he has a bad season, they don't want him back, they offer him the vet minimum, he's going somewhere else. I mean, he's made it quite clear that he wants to play at least three more years, including this year. So obviously a two-year deal somewhere else, and he'd be able to go somewhere. But if it's any semblance of decent money they would offer him, I mean, not even decent money, I think he would stay. So that's why I find it hard to believe that he would want to go somewhere else. I think a lot of this is him making it sound like he wants to go somewhere else, which he doesn't. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to be here, stay here, end here. But if it comes down to it, I mean, I think, of course, I mean, he'll go somewhere else.
Do you really believe that? He would play somewhere else? He wouldn't just do Troy and Ben and all the rest of them and retire?
No, because I think he's proud enough that he would almost take offense to, okay, they don't think I still have it. They don't want me. This is if they don't want him and say, okay, we're moving on from you. I'll go show you. I'll go to X team and show that I could still ball out. But I think that's all predicated on the Steelers saying, okay, sorry, Cam, we're just moving on from you.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, that's definitely interesting. Obviously, we would be remiss if we didn't then now ask about the receiver. the trade for the receiver, and if there's any updates on anything going on with a certain receiver from San Francisco, or even the guy in Denver, or what were the other, well, there was one other rumor I read in the last week. Anything to any of this? Are there any fire with any of this smoke?
Just sit and wait right now, right? You have to see what San Francisco might be doing, and I'm sure that's not something that's going to happen anytime soon. Let's see if what happens in training camp if he does show up and it looks like he could become a distraction, then all of a sudden maybe his price tag comes down. But I think what we are, you know, assuming right now, and I'm probably the number one guy that assumes this a lot, that is, okay, if you're going to sign him, you're going to give him $30 million, right? Something to that neighborhood for 2-3 years. How are you going to pay two wide receivers? Who really can guarantee right now, first of all, that George Pickens is going to be that guy of a $30 million wide receiver next year? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're taking a leap of faith saying all of a sudden he's going to have that year that makes him a superstar, then you're going to have to pay him number one type of money. So maybe if you look at it that way and thinking that maybe he's a good number two and Ayuk would be a good number one, then you would want to, I think, more of an option of trying to sneak him on in the salary cap or pay him at least decent amount of money here. So that's the only thing I look at. But the one downside of that would be then what if Pickens does have that monster year, then you pretty much would have two guys. I know other teams have two guys where they pay, but none of those teams have the highest paid safety and the highest paid outside linebacker on the defensive side of the ball as well. I'm paying your inside guy $16 million a year and so on and so forth. And your other linebacker getting paid, what, $13-14 in Highsmith.
Mark Cabali on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. You also got asked about Dan Moore. Somebody said, "What if is it possible Dan Moore starts while Fatanu watches initially?" You said it's quite possible. Really?
Yeah, it could be. Well, it's quite possible. It happened last year. Why wouldn't it happen again this year? And now there would have to be a lot of issues with how Fatanu plays and how he's acclimated. And if they go into this training camp and come out of the training camp and Dan Moore is, you know, obviously better than him, like what you saw pretty significantly last year with him and Broderick Jones, at least early in the process – I mean, why not? I think that they would allow that. I don't want to see that personally. I would like to see Fatanu just grow with this whole offensive line. But, I mean, I keep saying this about Dan Moore. I mean, I think he takes a lot of beating in Pittsburgh over, you know, a lot of PFF grades. He's still a guy that started 57 games here. Not too many people have done that. He is reliable in the fact that he's not going to get, you know, he's not terrible. I don't know if that's how you want to label your tackle or not, but he's still a quality player, I think.
Well, so you do?
Why not wait a couple halfway through the season type of situation? I'm not saying they're going to do that. But
is he a quality player?
I think he's, you know, middle of the road. I don't think he's as bad as you think. Of course, he's not a top 15, top 12 tackle in the league, but he's sure the heck ain't number 32 either.
You sure about that?
Yes, I am very sure about that.
How about number 28 or so? Paul, what do you think of Dan Moore Jr.? First, you said he's not terrible. I don't care how many games, you know, the number of games you've started isn't indicative of how good you are to me.
It is indicative of what they see him as, how they view him.
Well, who cares about that? They mangled their offensive line for 10 years straight, practically.
They make the decisions, not me or you.
What is this, Ron Cook? These guys, the coaches see him every day? Then have
Cook
one of them
now
on the show instead of you.
I was going to say, what is that, Ron Cook?
What is happening?
What I'm saying is it can happen. It can happen because the coaches like him. He has the experience and maybe
the coaches, some of the guys still here drafted Kendrick Green. The coaches' best thinking had the other stiff. Who was the guy they had at left tackle, then right tackle? Chooks. Remember that? The coaches had brought in, who was the other guy they brought? I don't even remember. This is their eighth try since the good players graduated from here of trying to rebuild their offensive line. They needed Andy Weidel to come in and spend a whole draft doing that and then spend a bunch of money because they didn't know what they were doing. So don't tell me about them.
Well, I'm not saying Fatan, who's a bum, and he's not going to be a guy that's eventually going to play this year. I'm just saying if he struggles to the point where you do not feel comfortable at all, then you have that option of
no, I hear that.
We saw that last year is what I'm saying. So I can see it this year. I wouldn't anticipate it, but I can see it happen.
Paul, you want to jump in on this?
I mean, this is kind of an entertaining back and forth to watch, to be honest.
You called me Ron Cook.
That was a Ron Cook answer.
The coaches see him every day. You could say that to anything.
That was a Ron Cook answer. That was a Ron Cook answer for sure, wasn't it? Well, I mean, who am I to?
He drilled me with it. These guys see him every day. Kabali just did.
It was funny one time.
Who are we to have an opinion when those coaches who have completely screwed up the offensive line?
One time on the TV show, what the hell is it called? The Showdown or whatever it's called on KDKA. Ron Cook was very angry at me. Because he pulled that line out. Well, I mean, you know, the general manager and the coaches are the ones evaluating the talent and all this other stuff. I mean, who am I to question that? I'm like, and I said, Ron, you've made an entire career out of questioning that. What are we talking about here? I was like, that's a cop out. No. You know, he got angry about that, but it's true. As for Dan Moore, I don't know. He stinks. I mean, it's pretty clear to me that they're going to have what's my man's name that they just drafted?
Fatanu.
Tua Fa'afa'amatalala, or whatever his name is. That guy. Right? They just drafted that guy. He'll be their right tackle. He'll be their right tackle, and they'll be, Broderick Jones will be the left tackle, and we'll be happy, right?
You know, I think you guys need to honor Cookie by, you know, giving him some kind of memorial chair named after him, Paul.
Right? They have a memorial, like, poster of him up at Domenico's. Okay. If you walk into Domenico's, wonderful place. The
fly from the Ron Cook chair.
Yeah, there's a Ron Cook poster right over the bar. Now, who's calling me in the middle of the show?
Joe's phone is ringing now.
Sorry about that. I don't know. These people, they call me in the middle of trying to do a radio show.
Does Mark talk to Cam Hayward?
Who was that?
What was that?
It was a joke.
It was a joke.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
That was the first, Mark, I've known you a long time. That was the first time I heard legitimate anger coming out when people got on you. About what they saw as giving credence to Cam saying he might go to Cleveland.
Oh my goodness! I still got that on my phone, and I'm like, listen. But you know, I just saw one yesterday that saying some blog saying I'm backtracking on something. I'm like, what the heck are you guys talking about? But you want to get me fired up? Start talking about that.
All right, you reported that Cam could go to Cleveland.
It's not that. I said the Justin Fields stuff. Oh, my goodness. People in Chicago absolutely hating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I know. Here's what I would say about that, Mark. I thought you could have maybe, and I really respect your work, but I thought maybe you could have made it more clear at the beginning that Cam was just joking.
Excuse me.
God bless you.
I might have, but, you know, I'm not throwing no. You know how the newspaper business works there, Joe? Wink,
yeah.
Wink, nod, nod. You hand it over, then all of a sudden, it's different in print.
It comes out a little different than you meant it. I know. We've all been there, right, Paul?
Yeah.
You a soccer fan, Mark?
It's on TV. Oh,
soccer fan. Nah, you know, I used to cover a lot of soccer in high school, so I'm very anti-soccer now.
You know, Paul used to be a college.
I don't really watch like the World Cup stuff. I'm not watching no Euros, though.
Paul used to be a soccer player. He was a goalie. Did you know that?
Well, he would look like a goalie to me. You know, speaking of the Port View Bulldogs here, Paul.
What's that supposed to mean, Paul? He said he don't look like a goalie.
He looks like a goalie. He said
I look like a goalie.
Oh, that you do look like a goalie.
Every time I go to my kid's baseball game, a guy comes up to me and goes, boy, do I love Paul Zeiss. He's my man.
That's because he knows I'm a fan of the Port View Bulldogs.
I said, you must never have met Paul Zeiss then.
How was your appearance on Coward?
I don't know. I'm sure. I think he was a little took a headline from a blog and went with it about the whole struggling Justin Fields stuff. I never said the word struggling. I just said he.
I don't care if the team is struggling. Remember Joe Namath?
You just don't say you want to kiss me. No. That's all I got to say there.
I think we're safe there. Did he invite you back? And what did you mean? Did you report that Justin Fields had struggled?
No, I didn't, but it somehow showed up in a online story on the headline. So all I ever said was about Justin Fields was he was inconsistent with his accuracy. And that's just, I mean, I'm not breaking any news there.
Yes, you are. Because
it's exactly how he was in Chicago for 4 years.
I know, but there's a difference when you're thrown against air at OTAs.
Yeah.
Well, I also said that I wouldn't get too worried about it right now, but that tends to get left out of that.
Paul, what do you think? Is he being unfairly persecuted here on multiple fronts?
Yeah, well, I saw the one guy that really ripped you. Posted your picture and really ripped you for never.
Was that Justin Fields burner account?
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, but
you know what he got? He got the old block there, Paul.
The block.
Send it into the third row.
Dikembe Mutombo. Joe and I talk about it all the time. We block more people than Dikembe Mutombo did.
I don't block that many, but you know, you start taking personal shots at people. Man, the finger starts wagging.
And not just that. There's a few key phrases that are going to get you blocked immediately. And if I think you're an asshat that's not trying to that's not trying to be serious or engage me in a serious way, then you're gone too.
It was a joke.
Yeah. I'm also done.
That's a good one. I like that drop. Is that what you call it? The drop.
The drop. Yeah.
It was a joke.
I love that.
You put that together with the cook laugh, and it'd make a nice little duet.
Your words to City Limits' ears.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
That sounds like how you would, if you wanted to get a confession out of somebody, you would combine Cabali's It's a Joke with Ron's laugh, and they would tell you anything.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Right.
That's like Nicholson saying, did you order the Code Red? You're darn right I did.
This one goes down in history. May I engage Mark in a game of free association, Paul?
Absolutely.
Dan Zangrilli is in the house. We're going to be talking some baseball, including this hypothetical trade that Pony put out there. Said a pirate source told him about it. This will be very interesting. I played golf with
Dan. Pirate source named the parrot.
It was a joke. All right. How would you characterize the alleged competition between Fields and Wilson going into training camp? Hot? Not really a big deal at all, or nothing to it?
Non-existent. Nothing to it.
Non-existent. Okay. If you had to bet everything you owned, including that hat you're wearing right now, on Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris getting more touches this year, who would you bet on?
Najee Harris.
Do you think that the Steelers will get a star receiver to pair with Pickens or a big name?
I think a lot has to go right for that to happen. At this point now, it just doesn't. I would say no.
No, but you did say in your mailbag you think it's imperative that they do.
They have to. I think they have to, but I just don't know if there's a star out there that's going to come available. That's where I'm at.
Will Dan Moore be a day one starter, week one starter?
I'm going to say no, but I wouldn't totally dismiss it.
Will Cole Holcomb be available week one?
No.
How does the new punter look? Great, good, average, or horrible?
He looks good. Plus, you know, he recognized me. So when I first talked to him, so I really like him now. I can't rip on him.
No, what do you mean he recognized you from the Pat McAfee show?
Yeah, this is what? Where, you know, when I said, now I can't rip on him, that's the cue for City Limits to write, say, it's a joke. Because, you know, I'm going to rip on him if he stinks.
Keep that in mind, City Limits. So he recognized you from the McAfee show.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to him about a couple of things. He goes, oh, you know, the Australian accent. He was like, yeah, when I got signed here, I went on to catch up on the Steelers news, and I really liked you on that show. I'm like, oh, geez. I can't rip on you and say you have the Jordan Berry special punts where the ball falls in, gets fair caught in the 19-yard line, so he has an inside the 20-yard punt, you know, one of those things. That's called a Jordan Berry special.
Thank you, Dr. Kabali. I have no further questions.
By the way, where did Zeiss go? And you gave him a look like, where are you going, Paul?
I don't know. I looked up and I thought he was walking out.
I wasn't included in the conversation, so what the hell did I need to sit here for?
He knows how these things end.
I walked over there to get the remote control so I could put the Pirates game on. That's all.
Well, I thought the pizza was here.
No, the pizza was here.
We ate the
ago.
Pizza.
Joe beat me way out of the studio for all of it.
We have to go, Dan. We're being rude to Dan Zangrilli. Do you know him, Mark?
He's a jerk.
I've known Dan back to the old high school when he was calling games on
what
radio and oh, back in
Dan. You two go way back. I had no idea.
Oh, sure, I know the Bell Vernon legend that is Kabali.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Kaboom.
What? I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I remember him back in the day doing high school. I don't know if it was for radio, TV. I don't know what it was, but he was a legend back then. He's even become more of a legend.
I love you. I love you.
All right. We have to run. Thank you, doctor.
All right, we'll see you guys.